I want to give you just a few examples of how Islam has been, and this is the word we've been using today, infiltrating and infecting non-Islamic religious groups. I'm talking about non-Islamic churches, religious ceremonies, religious events, and I'm talking about events around the globe. Let me just give you a couple of examples before we move into some specifics. In July of 2016, for the first time during a mass in Italy, a verse from the Quran was recited from the altar. Historic, ladies and gentlemen. A priest in the south of Italy enraged some of his parishioners by dressing the Virgin Mary in a Muslim burqa for his church's Christmas nativity scene. And these interfaith initiatives are based on the gradual elimination of the Western Christian heritage, showing a favoritism for Islam. Then how about this? Pope Francis himself was the first to allow the reading of Islamic prayers and readings from the Quran at the Vatican. Do you remember when the Pope embraced religious relativism with respect to Islam? He repeated that Islamist violence is the work, quote, of a small group of fundamentalists who, according to him, have nothing to do with Islam. And then what about this? The Church of England's bishop suggested that Prince Charles's coronation service should be opened with a Quran reading. And are you aware of this? In the United States of America, more than 50 churches, including Washington's National Cathedral, hold Quran readings. Now, that's just a general look, a perusal of religious entities around the world. But let's get very specific with respect to evangelical Christianity. I want you to listen to a clip from renowned apologist Ravi Zacharias as he comments on the problem facing the American church and how the American church, as we move forward, is very ill prepared for what we may face in the days ahead. Russ, let's listen to the clip.
There's another angle of this which I will address, and that is that these emergent churches are going to produce a generation of people who actually will not be able to handle the challenge of Islam and other major world religions. They will not be able to handle it. And my wife and I were having dinner with a very notable gentleman I shall leave unnamed, but he was... He says he communicates to more people across television than anybody else in the world at any on any given day. And I won't say too much more, but he was sitting across the table and he said he'd just been talking to a Muslim scholar and came away quite impressed with the fact that he had not known that there was really not that much of difference between Islam and Christianity. So my wife and I were having dinner with him, and my wife is very, very well controlled in her expressions, and I thought she was going to choke at that moment. I had to just... turn over to her and calm her down. I said, why did you say that? He said, well, you know, he talked about all the points of agreement we have and so on. I said, well, let's go from here. They don't believe we have the Bible, that the New Testament is lost. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe he died on the cross. They don't believe he rose again from the dead. They don't believe he's coming again as king. Do you think there's a difference between what they believe and what we do?
Ravi Zacharias, renowned apologist, as he is stating what, Sam, to me is absolutely stunning, that he would sit across from one of America's most renowned preachers, most well-known, that's how I'm using the word renowned, and this preacher would say there's basically no difference between Christianity and Islam. And Dr. Zacharias went right to the heart of the core fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith and said there is a distinct, definitive difference between Islam and Christianity. Sam, if this is where the American church is now, we're in deep trouble, are we not?
We are in trouble, Dave, and that is why, as we were talking on the other side of the break, when the church, when the pulpit, fails to maintain its recognition of the pure standard of morality and truth as delivered by God himself, Jehovah God, and embodied within the Word of God, the Bible. Once that piece of standard is moved and someone goes to the point of saying, well, it's partially right or some of it is okay, some of it is true and some of it is not, which is really what Robbie was saying, which we know from George Barna surveys that we've talked about on this program, that really less than 30% of the pulpits in America, the pulpits, not the pews, the pulpits in America, less than 30% believe that God's word is all true. That's where you get into the trouble, and then you, at that point, then man becomes God, and we begin to rationalize away, and that's the only way, Dave, a person can come to a position of saying that all gods are one God, we all serve the same God, and have individuals to which Ravi was referring, and so many others who stand up and say they are Christians, but will also say that, well, but Allah is the same God as the God of Abraham, and we really all worship the same God. The only way a person can say that, Dave, is a person who says that God's word is not God's word, because God's word is very clear that Allah is not God. God is God and God alone. So he goes right to the point, and he's right. We move off of the authority of God's word, then we are open to any strategy, any effort, any barb, any arrow of the enemy of truth, to that we will fall victim.
You know, Sam, Ravi goes on, and we were not able to play that portion of the clip, where he talks about this man with whom he was having the conversation at the dinner table, has written several best-selling books, and he said in both of the books, there's not a single reference to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we have a problem with so much of what's going on in America.